to sneeze and you can't. So that's kind of what I'm at right now.
Oh, I hate that. And especially my wife, when she notices it, that I'm kind of doing it, I'm doing the... She's like, she'll be really mean, and she'll be like, do it, sneeze now, sneeze right now, hurry up, sneeze, and it completely takes it away.
One of my favorite things is to do something like that, or to, when my wife sneezes, is to tell her to shut up. That's also fun to do. We do it all the time. It's so
I haven't
fun.
done that one.
Or stop it, or just tell them to stop it.
Yeah, I got this, it started out as kind of a joke, that an episode of Home Improvement. Jill's dad refers to, or greets Tim by saying, "Hey, you," like, you know, still you're not good enough for my daughter type thing. And sure. I jokingly used it, Christine, once, "Hey, you," and it actually kind of stuck and became like a tongue-in-cheek term of endearment. So like if I give her cards, you know, anniversary, birthday or something like that, I'll always start them off with, "Hey, you."
Yeah, that's cute. And, yeah, we have something similar. What is it? It's when one of us sneezes, like if I sneeze, I'll tell her, "Bless you." And then she'll say, "You're welcome." It makes no sense, but that's just something we do.
You ever warn somebody that they're running out of blessings because they keep sneezing?
I've never heard that. No,
I've done that. If they get two, I'll be like, "You've only got one more. After that, it's going to be nothing but fuck yous." Well, what a funny intro. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show on earth, LR Mornings, today with Kyle and
Jammer. And
yay, Jammer.
So something is happening in this world right now. Something wicked this way comes. Something dark this way comes. Something
darker
Justice
than the
PlayStation League
5 controller.
Something Justice League dark this way comes. So this has been a project on one level or another that has been in the works for a million years. You've had Doug Liman and Guillermo del Toro come in and out of
the film.
I think
it's been since like 2013 or 14, because I was living in Georgia when it was first announced about Guillermo del Toro, and I was there from 12 to 16.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously that didn't happen because, you know, reasons. Last year you had the Swamp Thing series, which came and went because it sounds like, based on everything we've heard, there was like an exec that had a vendetta against it for some stupid reason. Fans really seemed to like it. I didn't watch it because it was on DC Universe and I refused to pay for DC Universe.
Same.
I sound like such a dick saying that, but anyway, right now,
well, you'll get it with HBO Max, right? You plan on getting that one, don't you?
I mean, I currently have HBO Now, so basically it's just like an instant upgrade. The good news is that if you want this sort of thing, earlier this year, we actually reported on Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' production banner, working on Justice League Dark, and now it looks like that project is not technically called Justice League Dark. It is an untitled drama based on characters set in the Justice League Dark universe, whatever the hell that means. And it is coming to HBO Max. That's it. That's all the news we have about that. But I mean, interesting, I guess. There are a couple little extra snags within it. You know, one is, I wonder, by snags, I mean things I'm wondering about. So it's not at all a snag. I don't know why I called it that. But pretty much, I'm wondering if they're going to be bringing back Swamp Thing, the character they introduced in that series. Because, you know, HBO Max, NBC, or in DC Universe, they're going to be like melded together. Also, Constantine is a character that has been living in the CW Arrowverse, and I just dropped a pen, played by Matt Ryan, and people love him. I don't get it, to be honest. I guess, yeah, he looks the role, and he kind of, I don't know, I don't care for it. Maybe it's just because the way they act in those Arrowverse shows I don't like as much.
Did you, I know it's nothing like the comics, and you probably never read a lot of Hellblazer. Did you like the Keanu Reeves film, just for what it was?
Yeah, I mean, I watched that film before I knew much about Hellblazer. I've since read Hellblazer, but I mean, I think the movie was fine for what it was. It was nothing like the comics, but whatever.
Yeah.
It was its own thing.
I thought it was a cool little action supernatural.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that take of it. They're like, you know, it wasn't necessarily Hellblazer, but for what it was, it's pretty entertaining.
Kind of the same with the Resident Evil, the first movie.
Oh, the first movie was so good. I loved it.
Action zombie flick, but it was a terrible Resident Evil film.
There was, yeah, like that moment where that one the characters are in that corridor with the lasers, and you think that one guy is going to be like a main character, and he gets sliced into pieces, and I'm just like, oh
yes,
oh,
and I love the gore when they show part of the liquid white of his eye start to drip down, and then he crumbles to pieces in the reflection. So good.
Yeah, like I remember watching that, and several times I would watch it. First of all, Marilyn Manson, why haven't you composed more? Because that score is fucking sick. And also, it's just, I don't remember feeling my blood pump that much when I was young. Because it was when I was relatively young. And I was just like, it just got me freaking, got my adrenaline going, that movie. You know, it was just solid.
It's a great zombie movie. It actually made my list of great zombie movies back on the old LRM ranks it. It's just a terrible Resident Evil film.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing like the series in any way, shape, or form. And it gets even worse as it goes on. Like, I remember I really liked the first one, and then going on for the second one, I was like, well, I don't want to watch this anymore. So that sucked. And it sucks because I even, like, they had Mike Epps, and they introduced his character in that one, and I didn't like it. Or I didn't like the movie, so therefore I couldn't watch more of his character.
I saw, I think I skipped 3 and I saw 4, and that's it. I've seen 1, 2, and 4.
Well, I want to transition this. So anything to say about Justice League Dark before we go on? Because that's kind of...
I think it's just really vague the way they're saying, you know, a drama based on characters from that universe. It leaves them a lot of leeway to create something completely unique and then still hold true to what they said.
Yeah.
You know, it's based on it, and I don't foresee Matt Ryan carrying over to it.
I don't either.
DC has established that all of their stuff is connected through the multiverse, including the Prime movies. So,
do you see them bringing in Swamp Thing?
Possibly. It depends if that Vendetta thing or whatever the personal stuff was going. I mean, Swamp Thing is one of those, the way I understand, he's one of those almost has to be in it characters in order for people to feel like it's Justice League Dark,
which I agree with. So, but which makes me wonder, like, I think they're gonna have him, but do you think if they do, it's gonna be that one?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I would say for the fans, which it got a lot of positive feedback for the fans. yeah, I would make it him.
Okay, one last thing, and I was gonna transition, but I have to ask this question because. Yesterday, Alicia Silverstone talked about Batgirl, and she said, she sounded like, you know, haphazardly, you know, actors are, it's like, yeah, sure, I'd like to play that again, blah, blah, blah. I could see her popping in Batwoman or something in the Arrowverse, but I just felt like saying that. That's it. Because, yeah, it's okay. All connected. But I was going to transition the Resident Evil talk to Paul W.S. Anderson, who directed those movies. And Monster Hunter. You just discovered that Monster Hunter, the big, I guess, monster hunting series, basically boss, what was it? One of my friends said it this way. It was basically boss fight the game.
Yeah.
And that is getting adapted. It stars Mia Jovovich and, oh, is it Tony Jaa? Is that the guy who's also in it? I gotta double check this.
I don't know. Let me see. Monster Hunter movie.
Yeah, Tony Jaa. I don't know.
Tony Jaa, Ron Perlman, Megan Good, T.I., which...
I didn't know Megan Good was in this. I've always had a huge crush on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't even remember a movie she's been in. Her picture, she does look like a very attractive young lady, so...
I remember I used to watch that Disney Channel original series called The Jersey. Did you ever watch that?
No.
It was awful. It was a cheesy show, but it was basically where it's like they had this special jersey that if they wear it, they can basically be transported into the bodies of like sports people as like, you know, like, like professional athletes. And they had like guest stars of like a whole bunch of professional athletes. Like, it's fun as a kid show. But anyways, she was in it temporarily. That's how I remember. And that's basically, I don't even know what else she's been in since then. I think she's one of those people who's like, still relatively famous in sort of the lower Hollywood circles, but I don't know why or anything else that she's in. So that's the only reason I know her name. Anyways, you saw the poster for the first time and you saw the synopsis. What can you tell us about it? And are you excited or terrified? And what is your familiarity with Monster Hunter? Because basically my familiarity is one day I was like, I want to play an RPG. So I got the 3DS game. And I was like, well, this is really boring. And then I played it for a couple hours and I never went back to it.
So I just know it because of other gamers that really, really do love the game series. I've heard and seen a lot of stuff dealing with Monster Hunter World. Actually, I've seen so much positivity about that. I've considered playing it myself. When I'm not busy with Final Fantasy VII, which I've already logged in, guys, I would say minus times where I've drifted off to sleep and things like that, I'm 35, 40 hours into this game, and there's still more. I still have a lot of side missions, and then I gotta climb up to the top to go to the Shinra building, and then there's all of that stuff. So the people that told you that they did reviews and that they actually got to play through most of the game and they did it in 32, 33, 34 hours, they rushed through it. They didn't.
Well, yeah, they definitely rushed through it. I mean, whenever I hear critics saying that, it's like, well, they're playing differently than us. You know, they're playing so that they can see as much as possible before they have to write a review.
Right.
And so, you grind. You like to have fun and grind and take your time with it too. So like that's I think you're you probably will have a more than most people when their initial playthrough because of how much you like to just, you know, get your character levels up.
And all of the side quests and side stories I've really enjoyed. But Monster Hunter, so boss fight the game is from videos I've seen, that's a really good way of putting it. It's not my type of RPG.
It's not mine either. Like I said, I was bored. It literally just, you go in and you just do
fight.
It's boring. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it.
So, but it's its own thing. This is not Earth. It's its own world, with its own rules.
Is it? Are you sure about that? Do you know that?
Humans, the way I understand it. Yeah.
Okay.
But it, even if it turns out to be, let me look.
I will say I respect them for one thing. I respect them that they have those giant ass weapons. Like you think Final Fantasy is crazy with Cloud's Buster Sword. Like literally, Mia Jovovich and Tony Jaa are walking around with these giant ass, you know, sawtooth backed blades that are just ridiculous looking. And I adore it because of my anime loving ass.
Yeah, just looking at the wiki for the game series. No, it does not look like it's here on our Earth. So, the movie though is literally going to have a team of United Nations military, which is kind of weird. It's usually always the U.S. military, but. They're using the UN.
I wonder if they helped get funding from some. I mean, you're laughing, but I'm dead serious because Tony Jaa, is he? He's a foreign superstar, right? Is he Korean?
Yeah,
I'm gonna double check this because. Sure. So I'm wondering if there's some like influence from finances. Let's see here. He's Thai.
Thai.
He is Thai. So yep. Maybe there's some extra. I'm gonna look this up while you talk.
That's fine. So a United Nations military team actually falls into a portal, into an alternate dimension, alternate world, different place, and they learn about the giant monsters and the hunters, and basically they split up. They say, hey, you go out and find. I'm sure that there's going to be some sort of like main monster that if you kill that one, it'll stop the rest, or it'll make the rest stop with their goal. There'll be some stupid fucking thing like that. I'm sure. It's just my guessing, but
I think that, there is one positive aspect.
Good guess.
Here's one positive aspect. I feel like this is a movie or that will appeal to gamers more than it will to general audiences. And maybe the thing that they will be able to do in this is have it be a situation where you have normal-ish people dropping in and having to fight these giant monsters. So
well,
it allows
they're already not normal-ish. They're a UN military group.
Yeah, I know, but they're not like of another world. They're of our world. Yeah. So like it gives them an opportunity to sort of react as people who have not been to other planets would react to things, you know? Which could add to sort of like the sort of the gamer mentality of this whole situation, which I mean, I don't know why I'm stretching to you know, defend this, but I think it's interesting. But,
for the rest of the premise of it, they basically split into two teams, one team to go hunting and one team to protect the portal from the monsters entering it and heading to Earth. That's their idea for Monster Hunter.
So
instead of doing something really 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 cool where they have a young kid that grows up in this world and goes to be the best Monster Hunter, goes to defeat the bosses of all bosses and shit like that, we're getting God, what's that movie that we're getting like Pacific Rim meets God, I can't even think of it. We were making a joke of it on Slack, but it's nothing unique. It's really really terrible, but anyways, you were going to say something.
Yeah. So the production, so it doesn't sound like, so what I assumed maybe it was, cuz a lot of times when you have American movies with these foreign stars, it has to do with, you know, who's writing the checks and who are they trying to appeal to. And this one, it is not the case. That has nothing to do with him, but it looks like this is definitely like a foreign, multinational production. You have Screen Gems, a U.S. company, Impact Pictures, a Canadian company, Constantine Film, a German company, Tencent Pictures, a Chinese company, and Toho Pictures, a Japanese company, all throwing in their bit to pay for this movie. So,
and Screen Gems is part of Sony.
And Screen Gems is part of Sony. But so yeah, that's it's all over the place. So that, I don't remember why I was trying to decide whether or not that was a thing. Oh yeah, maybe it's the UN. Like they don't want to necessarily make it focus exclusively on the US. They want to be able to appeal to a wider audience. So maybe the UN is a way for them to do that.
Nah, that's fine. It could have been a NATO, it could have been the French Foreign Legion. I mean, there's a lot, but I get that. And then I wasn't saying like it's a terrible thing. It should be the U.S. Just that most of these types of films, it's the U.S. military.
It's a default, you know? For sure. Like in Hollywood. Yeah.
And I just found out what they were trying to compare it to. John said it's almost like the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which, when you think of it, yeah, it kind of is. Pacific Rim meets Super Mario Brothers movie, which if you guys out there have not seen,
find a way to see it. Don't do
and
it.
Just laugh your ass off.
It's not funny. It's just boring. It's boring movie.
It's better than Double Dragon and better than Street Fighter.
I very much remember, I think I remember as one of my first memories of going to a movie and being and realizing, oh, this is disappointment. This is disappointment. This is what happens when you're looking forward to a movie and then you're disappointed. Because I think when you're younger, you kind of just go into movies without knowing anything. And then, yeah, this is the first time where I was like, I have expectations because I love Mario. And I go in there at age 3 or 4 and I'm like, well, those weren't met. That's not what happened. That didn't work at all. But even though then I was still trying to convince myself that it did, I lied to myself like a fool.
Yeah, like most of us did with episode one.
Yeah. I watched that movie so many times in theaters. I think I watched it 4 times in theaters. In retrospect, I have no idea who I went to the theaters with. Did I go by myself? I went with friends? What did I do? Was I running around at that age just going to movies? How did that happen?
You don't have friends. You know this.
I did then, but I used to be cool. You don't even know.
Before you were a terrible person.
I thought you were going to say terrorist for a second. I was going to say calm down there, buddy. Calm down.
No. Anyways, I think you were on another track, and I probably just completely destroyed your thoughts on that.
What was my track with this? The giant swords look giant. I'm kind of looking forward to it the more I look at it, just because giant swords are giant. But yeah, I mean, I have no expectations. I have no familiarity with the. I have very little familiarity with the games, I will say. If it does well, though, I hope that it paves the way for the Final Fantasy series, which is coming to Netflix, I think. I forget who's producing it, but it's happening. I'm hoping that it paves the way for them to bring.
It'll happen when it actually does.
I'm excited to see if they actually have big swords and they allow big swords to happen.
Yeah.
Because I think there's not enough big swords out there. And I just remember as a kid seeing that Final Fantasy poster. And like a video game magazine and thinking that's where it's huge. But now I look at it, it's like I've watched so much other stuff that it's just normal. It's perfectly normal. And I know Cam, he refuses to play the game because of the giant sword.
Who?
Cam.
Oh God. I need to go beat some sense into.
In all fairness, I don't think I don't think it's his kind of game anyway, because he doesn't like it being like an interactive story. He likes to just, I don't know, shoot things, I'm assuming.
Blow things up.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, look, just it might end up being a good action flick, but I don't foresee it being a good Monster Hunter film.
Yeah.
The rest of the Resident Evil films, I don't know how he got money to make them. I really don't.
They made money. They were low enough and they made money. That's how.
I guess.
That reminds me of what Kevin Smith recently said. It was actually pretty great. Have you ever listened to him talk about just the film, not just the film industry, but like actually the process of like getting funding and making movies and all that stuff?
And like his story about telling creditors that he was the manager of the video store and made X amount of money.
No, like no, no, cheating, not that.
Getting all these credit cards and maxing them out.
No,
shit.
No, no, not that. Oh. Okay. Basically, no. Basically, his just whole process of making movies is keep your budgets low, because even though he puts on this persona of like a kind of a silly stoner guy, he is an astute businessman. And not only is he an astute businessman, but just like the way he sets a certain bar with his movies. He knows that there's a specific audience for it. And rather than try to go out there and make movies that appeal to everybody like he used to try to do, he just capitalized on, well, I know that 100,000 people, let's just say, I know that 1 million people won't see my movie, but I do know that if I write what I write, I can have, 50,000 people who will for sure see my movie. So if I just make my budgets low enough and I'm responsible with how I spend it, and then I also, pad things in my favor by going on a roadshow with my movie, I know for a fact I will make back that money, and all the people who I'm in business with will get their money and they'll make profits, and it'll therefore secure my ability to make more movies down the line. And that's how he survived in Hollywood for as long as he has. And I just think that's really smart and really clever. And yeah, it's just interesting. He said, someone said that people give him a pass because he's Kevin Smith. And he says, Christ, I wish I was, I was flayed alive online and in print for years for those flicks. Good or bad reviews isn't the factor in Hollywood. The key to a long, mediocre career is keeping your budgets low. If you can work cheap, you can always work. And while those Resident Evil movies weren't necessarily cheap, they obviously did well enough to make enough money. They didn't appeal to everybody. They didn't appeal to most people. But they seemingly made more than enough money to justify the next one continuously. So that's how that happened. Like the movies, the series had budgets combined of $288 million. Combined, the entire series has made $1.2 billion. So basically, they made a profit of about $1 billion. Obviously, there are other factors like advertising. But if you're wondering why, that's why.
They probably walked away between 400 and 550 billion actual profit.
Million.
After splitting with the theaters and advertising and all that.
Yeah, and even the final chapter, Resident Evil, the final chapter, that had a budget of $40 million, it made $312 million.
Yeah, that's why they let them continue to make them.
I don't blame them. If I'm an investor and I'm looking at risky movies and I look at the movie before that, which was Resident Evil Retribution, it cost $65 million to make and it made $240.2 million. I'm like, this is a pretty safe investment. That was like the fifth movie in the franchise and it's still making money.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's how he got the gig.
Oh, I'm sure.
For this. Oh, yeah, you've made a video game movies before that made a profit, you can make Monster Hunter.
Yep, exactly.
How much is this one going to cost? Let's see. Budget $60 million.
There you go. He's learned to live and thrive in the mid-budget range in a world
40 to 60, yeah.
And good for him. Like, if he has those people who, if they says, for the creator of Resident Evil, it may turn off 90% of people, but that 10% of people are like, holy shit, I love those movies, I'm going to go ahead and watch it, and then boom, $300 million.
I had no idea that it was actually a thing, and still, as of right now, due to come out September 4th. Of 2020.
It's seemingly been in the works for forever. Like, I forgot about it. That poster that you posted in our Slack of Mia Jovovich holding the sword, I feel like that's been around for at least 6 months or 9 months, and it's, I was like, oh yeah, I completely forgot that movie's coming out.
Anderson was rumored to adapt the franchise as early as 2012. And at TGS, Tokyo Game Show, for those of you that don't know the lingo, Capcom, in 2016, Capcom stated that a live-action Monster Hunter film was in development. So, yeah, from earliest rumors eight years ago to probably actively in pre-production or at least searching for and signing contracts 4 years ago in 2016. It is what it is. It's Sony, so they can go fuck themselves.
I guess it is Sony. I was like, but it's not like just Sony. It's a bunch of other investors, and don't worry about it, man. It's fine. It's all good.
I'm so scared that I'm gonna hate the way the PS5 looks.
Who cares? It's a device that is just gonna play a video game. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
I know, but I've been so, like, I don't have a lot of complaints for Sony Computer Entertainment or Sony
Interactive,
whatever. SEI, I think.
SIE.
Right? Sony
Interactive Entertainment.
Okay, there it is. I haven't had a lot to complain about with them. I've always found their designs nice. I really like the sleek, angled PS4 Pro design a lot.
You didn't mind the Spider-Man font on the PS3?
No, I was really? Fine with it.
That was disgusting. Yeah. I hated it.
It was. I mean, there were a lot of issues with the PS3. Beyond some aesthetics, I ended up my original PS3 ended up burning out and was irreparably damaged somehow, and I had one of the original 60 gigabyte backwards compatible ones. So I was really upset.
Jesus, they were 60 gigabytes back then.
Yeah, right.
That's tiny.
And I know. And so now I've actually got a PS3 Slim is the one that I actually have now.
I have a 2 terabyte PS4 Slim. Or I guess I have PS4, not Slim. I don't know if they call it that, but I have PS4 that's thin.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. I think they do call it Slim. I got the Pro back in 16, and I got it for Final Fantasy 15. So, but yeah, man, good show.
Yeah,
go
hopped all over the place
down on a sour note of fuck Sony for making stupid shit.
Yeah, fuck them indeed.
Anyways, thanks for being on the show as always, bud.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure you're going to lrmonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news and needs and opinions. Bookmark us, man. Bookmark us. So that way you never go, oh, what's that site again? Or type in it wrong and end up at some not safe for work.
Yeah, like lmronline.com. Don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want anything like that. So bookmark lrmonline.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a lot of great content there from celebrity interviews. A lot of them with our own Gig Pata, and Gig's fully on the mend now, right?
He's
doing good.
He's doing better last time I checked, but it has been a few days.
Yeah, so good for him. And also, Los Fanboys on Fridays.
Not today.
Oh, okay, so not today.
Probably, I don't think so.
Okay, maybe. Miracles do happen. But generally, on Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time, you can catch a live broadcast of Los Fanboys and interact with the host and guests. Send us comments, tell us how terrible Jammer is and how much you love Kyle and things like that.
We get a lot of those, surprisingly.
Yeah. And of course, the LRM Online Podcast Network. You guys know wherever you find podcasts, but subscribe and so you can get notifications of when great shows hit the airwaves, like Breaking Geek Radio. Los Fanboys does come out on podcasts a little bit later, Friday afternoons, LR mornings, just lots of great stuff, Geek Scholars movie news, what to watch this weekend, and then of course on the outside of that network, but still part of the LRM family, you've got the Comic Source and Nerdflix and Chill. So literally, guys, you're in quarantine, hundreds of hours of entertainment. I like SoundCloud. We're not endorsing. This is not like a sponsored thing. But we've got our shows in playlists on SoundCloud, so it's really easy to listen to a whole bunch of top 5/ranks it, the entire Last Call Star Wars series, and of course, LR Mornings and Breaking Geek. So check all that out. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at Jam the Writer, and all of my novels under the name AJ Serna on Amazon.
Love the shameless self-promotion.
Oh yeah.
don't worry, if I ever have something to promote, I'm promoting the hell out of it. I'll do like Kevin Smith does and stop in the middle of my podcast for a commercial.
I should do that.
We should do something like that. But you guys can yell at me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Adios.